Welcome to From Carpool to College, a show for parents who are trying to get ahead or just keep their sanity while navigating the college planning landscape. Hey, this is Tracy Amadeo.
Tara Haritz.
And today we're going to talk about testing. Tara, what did you compare standardized testing to?
A colonoscopy.
Yeah. So, because it's something that we have to talk about.
Yep.
So we decided collectively as your hosts that we're only going to give it 20 minutes because we hate it. And we understand our audience. You have the whole internet, okay? You can Google all of this and find amazing resources. And we'll put those resources on our website. We'll put them on our Patreon for you, College Board, all sorts of stuff. But we just want to give you the view from 20,000 feet, really, because we realize that the only experience with standardized testing that you may have is your own. And you're of a certain age and the 90s are over. So we're assuming the 90s, right? It could be, it could be a little older. It could be the 80s. It could be the 80s. But we just want you to leave knowing that standardized testing exists. It is alive and well. You have options, and there are a couple of things you want to know. So I want to start with sharing a phone call I got when I was walking the dog the other day. All right. Our private practice, Academic Mentoring LLC, the calls are forwarded to my personal cell phone because as a small business owner, this is what you got to do. So I'm walking the dog and I get a phone call and I shouldn't have answered it. I should have let it go to voicemail because I didn't recognize it. And I'm like, oh, this could be a client or is it? Or is it? So I answered it and it was a potential client. And she asked if we do test prep. And we do not. We used to, but that kind of went sour. So we don't really do that anymore because there's a lot of resources for you. We don't, that's not our jam.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of them are free.
Oh, so many free resources.
Yep.
Yeah. So I said, you know, no, but tell me about your kid. So she told me about her kid and he's a junior and he doesn't really, he's kind of like up and down with his grades and plays more Xbox than does homework consistently. And I immediately thought of my own two kids. I'm like, oh, I'm like, I knew. And I shared some stories about my own two kids. So I asked, you know, well, what are your goals? What's your end game here? Because frankly, we still live in a test optional age. And depending on where you get your news sources, you may think drastically differently. So there was a New York Times article that said test optional is going away. You know, everyone's going to come back to the SAT or ACT. But that was also written by some Ivy League authors for a certain newspaper. I don't want to get sued.
Mm-mm.
But you're going to read a lot of different things in the news. So here's what you need to know. As of today, there are hundreds of colleges that are happy to take your SAT or ACT scores. So there's two different types of tests here. ACT, SAT. Tara, remind me to talk about them later.
Yes,
I'll do like the Coke and Pepsi thing.
Okay.
Oh, it's so boring. And again, we're pausing because we hate talking about this. And seriously, we don't want to talk more than 20 minutes about it because we think it sucks. Okay, we just want to be for the record. So, so there are hundreds of schools, thousands of schools who will take your test or not take your test. There's something called test optional. And colleges will say, hey, if you think your score is reflective of how you perform, then send it to us. But what's happening, folks, is that people, our students, are sending scores that are only above the average accepted scores for each school. So there's a site, well, there's a little like back curtain way to see what test scores each college accepts and what the range is, like the 25th percentile, the 50th percentile, the 75th percentile. And that's called the Common data set. So if you Google any school, pick a school, Tara.
University of Richmond.
Okay, so you put in University of Richmond common data set in Google and the year for the last admitted class. And it'll be a PDF housed somewhere. And it's ugly, too. It's an ugly form. It's like definitely a government agency kind of form.
Yeah.
It's a compliance thing. They have to submit this report. They have to submit, like, how many applications they received, how many they accepted, how many male, how many female, what the average GPA was, what the 25th percentile, what the 50th, what the 75th. It's a compliance thing. So if you look for the common data set, you will see what test scores those applicants have submitted. And that's how you can work backwards to see, should I send my test scores or should I not? Mm-hmm. But the bigger question is, when I was on the phone with this lady, it's like, should your kid even go all out? He wanted to take the June SAT and he wanted to do like a warrior boot camp to gear up for it. And when she told me that he didn't even break 1,000 on his PSAT, I was like, well, you know, back in the old days when we were in high school, breaking 1,000 was like good. It's like, oh, you broke 1,000. Yeah. Good job. I remember a guy I went to high school with. We both had the same SAT score. It was like 1030 or something, or 1040. Okay. And he ended up going to Boston College.
Oh, wow.
I did not. Well, he also played football.
Okay.
I did not.
Right.
But, you know, breaking 1,000 was good. Now they say 1050 is the 50th percentile SAT score. But frankly, you're looking at, that's like flat in the middle.
Right.
That's not necessarily a good score. So this kid didn't break 1,000. And according to the College Board, the PSAT is a pretty good barometer to see, because it's normed with all 10th graders.
Right.
So all 10th graders take it. And it kind of shows you where you stand, like the whole percentile thing. And this is like, I'm going to nerd out a little bit, right?
Because
I took statistics twice. The first time I failed it.
Oh.
And then I took it again and actually liked it the second time. But in my defense, it was the summer I turned 21 when I failed it.
Oh, okay.
Totally legit.
Yeah.
So when we talk about percentiles, think about 100 people in line. And let's say you're in the 75th percentile. Think of yourself in that line of 100 people and you're number 75. You could look behind you and there's 74 people who you did better than.
Yeah.
But there are See, I'm doing math now. So there's like 24 people in front of you who did better than you.
Right.
Okay, out of 100 people. So the PSAT given in 10th grade and 11th grade, but the PSAT 10, that will show a percentile based, you know, comparing your precious cargo with the precious cargo across the country and sometimes even the world to see how they do. And the score is a little, it's not out of 1600 like the SAT, but the according to the College Board, when a student really goes hard and goes on the Khan's Academy, which is linked to it for free tutoring resources, which amazing idea. I'll say it again. The College Board partnered with a Khan Academy. And if you type in your credentials from the PSAT workbook, the Khan Academy will generate a free personalized prescriptive practice plan for your kid based on all the stuff that they got wrong. So there's your nugget. If you tune out now, at least you got that. Again, but we still have like 13 minutes of torture. So the PSAT, like, your kid is taking it 10th grade. And the math sequence is algebra, 9th grade, 10th grade geometry, 11th grade pre-calc, 12th grade calc, or maybe geometry, pre-calc, calc, statistics. In any event, your kid's not going to do as well if they have algebra in 9th grade. The kids who had algebra in middle school are going to kick your kid's butt in math on the SAT or ACT because they have more knowledge. They've learned more. They're advanced in math.
Yeah.
So like,
they've even just been exposed to a little bit more.
Right.
You know, they don't have to even master it, but just to be able to understand the basics, right?
Totally. And make a good guess. So the College Board says typically if you get PSAT score, you're maybe going to go up 200 points.
Mm-hmm.
So parents need to take the PSAT seriously. When that rolls around, Make sure your kids are prepared for that and don't let them tell you, oh, it's just a practice test. Yeah, it is a practice test. However, it's a really good indication of how your kid's going to do on the SAT.
They take it twice.
They take it twice. They do. They take it in 10th and 11th. Okay. The 10th grade one is the National Merit Scholarship Qualifying Scholarship. It's a National Merit Qualifying Scholarship Test. So if you do super well, then you can be eligible to have some big fat scholarships if you score like in the top 2% or some crazy stuff like that. So take the PSAT seriously. Understand that the math sequence is very important because, as Tara said, it's what you're exposed to. Also, they could take good guesses. Just to give you some ideas about test scores, I do a lot of work with early college, and colleges want to know, is this kid going to graduate in 4 years? And if they're behind in math or in writing, then they're going to have to start out with a non-credit or remedial class. So they could use standardized tests like the Accuplacer, which is a college test given to high school graduates to assess where they are in their math and in their writing. So standardized tests aren't really going away. The benchmark SAT scores for being college ready are about 560 in math and 590-ish in the verbal section. So I'm giving these scores out. Some of you, it means not a darn thing, and that's fine. But these are things like Tara's colonoscopy. We got to do it. we got to talk about it. So testing is there. Testing is optional. Testing is not optional in some schools like the state schools of Florida. Testing is not optional in like University of Tennessee. Some schools require testing, and that's that. And there's nothing you could do about it. So it's important to take that PSAT seriously as a benchmark so you get a good indication of what kind of interventions your kid needs or if they're just going to pivot in a different direction. You probably will need some resources on how to know what schools are test optional.
Mm-hmm. So there are different online resources that you can go to, like fairtest.org is one of them. And they're kind of a watchdog, right?
Yeah.
Organization. And they cover everything K through 12 and then higher ed. So it's the test that maybe your middle schooler is taking as well. But there's a lot on there and it's pretty user friendly. I wouldn't say that you need to be someone who's in the field of education to kind of interpret it. There's a lot on there though. So I don't think you need all of it. But there's a section of higher ed and you can go to, you can find out which schools are test optional. You can find out the SAT, how it's scored, what the, you know, the point values are and different things, how much time should be spent on each particular question. So there's a lot of information, but it, like I said, it's user friendly and accurate because there's so much out there.
There's so much.
And especially with the SAT, some of it is, you know, there because they're trying to, you know, drum up some business or whatever. And I think that this particular site is pretty helpful.
Yeah, I like the fairtest.org. That it's like it, as Tara said, it's a grassroots watchdog organization, and they keep that list pretty current of schools who are test optional. In some cases, some programs may not be test optional. So you could have a test optional school, mm-hmm. but let's say your kid wants to go into nursing. And with nursing, chemistry comes really fast. So with chemistry comes advanced algebra, yeah. right? And so they're, instead of just gleaning the transcript to see, okay, what level did this candidate, did this applicant, you know, when did they take chemistry, at what level, and what was their grade, they can also look to see if they have that math backbone because that, you know, like I said, the chemistry comes fast. Same with some like 7-year med programs that, where they're just not test optional. Programs that typically will terminate with a standardized test, like nursing, mm-hmm. very often they will want to look at
Right.
Well, look at it. Because they want to see if you're a good test taker.
Right. And that's what I was just thinking that because we both had to take the standardized practice test in order to get our license for teaching. So, yeah, they're the exit program as well. The exit ticket, I should say.
Yes. Yeah, the exit ticket. Yeah. Do they still have the practice?
I believe so.
I had to take one for counseling, too. And I had to take it for Massachusetts and New Jersey. Because I went to UMass.
Oh, okay, okay.
I just had, it's like a bad flashback.
Yeah.
Oh, the other piece is, too, as I'm having trauma flashbacks from my own testing. Thanks for bringing that up, Tara.
You're welcome.
So we as parents are, well, my gosh, we want to do right by our kids. And we also know that no standardized test could ever measure how awesome our kids are. But we also have to understand that these tests are not... they're not necessarily going away. And I'm not just talking about the SAT or the ACT. Like we finished up testing season in our in our respective public schools.
Yep.
And did any of your kids opt out of standardized testing? Can you do that?
You can. You can. There's a small amount that did opt out, and you can opt out for certain sections even. If you want to do the English language arts portion, you can do that and then opt out of the math or vice versa.
Right.
Or you can do both. You know what I'm saying? Right. So there's, yeah.
And I kind of have some strong opinions about that.
Okay, let's hear them.
Because I get that in school, like we can't, standardized tests are not ever going to be a measure of the whole package.
Yeah, it's a snapshot.
But standardized tests, especially those achievement tests in school,
yeah,
they a lot of times, and it's only a slice, it's only one day, I get it.
Yeah.
But as an educator, especially as a school counselor, I'm not a psychic. I don't know what foundational knowledge a student has. And when parents opt out, it's one less data point for me to help make a placement for a kid
in
high school.
I agree. And I think that it's not, I don't think everyone should be forced to take it. I think that there are some students who are
It's anxious.
Right.
Right.
We don't want it to become something where it causes, you know, some severe issues, right? But I do think that by opting out your child, right, then later down the road when you have the SAT or you have other tests, right?
Right.
Who's to say that, you know, if you have a fifth grader now, fourth grader now, and then years later, it might not be test optional anymore. It might be required.
Right.
For everyone.
Or if it's not required for college admissions, there's a driver's test, a driver's license test, right? That's standardized as well.
Yeah.
So kind of just standardized testing is one of those necessary evils in many respects. And you parents are going to see it a lot. You see it in achievement tests. You're going to see it in college admissions, starting with that PSAT. And then going to the SAT, or there's the ACT. Now, the ACT and SAT are like Coke and Pepsi. Now, my Gen X parents hopefully get that reference. Because when I tell it to the kids, they're like, my parents don't let me drink soda.
Of course not.
Of course not. So, right. They're two different formulas. They're two different exams. One is an achievement test. What have I learned? It's much more transparent. That's the ACT. It's the American College Test. And then there's the SAT, which is the Scholastic Aptitude Test. How well might this student do in college based on these types of questions? And there's
more skill-based.
Skill-based more on
ACT.
Knowledge-based ACT. SAT is more critical thinking. Yeah, more analysis.
Yeah.
Right. So my two boys, I say this all the time, there's difference in the fingers on my hand. I had one kid who definitely did better on the ACT, and the other one did great on the SAT.
Yeah.
So...
you know what I was just thinking of, little, you know, going back further into the conversation, but I was wondering when did test optional start, because you would think that it was a result of the pandemic, but it was actually way before that.
Yeah, it was. It was way before that.
How interesting.
I know. Because it's, you know, it is a slice.
Yeah.
And also kids, socioeconomically, it's the kids who have the resources to hire the tutors.
Right.
Kids who have the luxury of not having to have a part-time job in high school, right? So there are a lot of factors, right? And there was a lot of bias in a lot of the questions. It's a hot topic.
It is.
It's a hot, steamy, stinky topic that we are approaching 20 minutes talking about.
Yep, we are.
oh, parents, you have a lot of resources online about testing, but we hope that the takeaways are standardized testing is there in any, in all different forms. Pay attention to the PSAT. And as Tara said, that the fairtest.org is a great place to start, mm-hmm. because you could even start looking at generating a college list. If your kid is college bound, if that's your pathway, tons of pathways, then look at FairTest or think about going to a community college to start with, and you don't need an SAT or ACT.
Yeah, so fairtest.org and then the Khan Academy. Right.
That's it. Beautiful nuggets in a stinky pile of gross. This is bad visual with the colon. We started out with it.
Well, then I started thinking about, you know, how that people always talk about the prep work for the colon. Yeah,
that's true. The prep
is that how we felt about the prep work for this episode?
Maybe.
Okay.
I did. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're glad this episode is over, folks. And good luck. Put the scuba gear on as you Google the hell out of all these topics we talked about. And we will say a prayer for you.
That's right.
I'm Tracy Amadeo.
Tara Horitz.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. If you enjoyed what you heard, we'd love for you to be a part of our growing community. Please share and follow our show. For those who want to support us further, join our Patreon site. Your support helps us create high-quality content and great episodes. Plus, our Patreon members get exclusive perks like bonus episodes, early access, and behind-the-scenes content that we think you're just going to love.
And now for some legal stuff. The content of this podcast is for informational and educational entertainment purposes only and is provided as is with no guarantee of accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or outcomes. I could keep going, but I will spare you and I will post this entire legal disclaimer on our website, www.academicmentoringllc.com, under podcast. Tara and I are so glad you joined us today on From Carpool to College. See you next time. Something like that.
Yeah.
Done.
That's good.
Okay, Chris, make that pretty, please. Pretty, please. Make it pretty, please.
Microphone check.
Microphone check.